If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home. When I'm
Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Inside the Ropes, number 67. And I'm joined, as always, by the king of the Power Slam, the man who is the reason this podcast is happening, the one and only Finlay Martin. Hi Finn, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, Kenny, and how are you?
I'm good. You're too kind, and you're lying. I'm good. I feel like people need to give you a little bit of props though, because they will be noticing a brand new Power Slam podcast logo done by yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we did mention this last week, but there was a bit of tinkering. You know, I'm a perfectionist, Kenny. It's got to be right. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of tinkering that it required. You know, a little bit of the kerning between a couple of letters wasn't quite right. Couldn't send it until it was spot on. People would expect nothing less from me, surely. So, yeah, we've got a new logo, and I hope people are going to like it.
Now, we did also mention before we get started that there was going to be a Q&A this week, both on the podcast and on Patreon. But something bigger came up, Finn. Can you tell people a little bit about it? What's come up that's going to be on Patreon?
Yes, yesterday I did an interview with none other than Pat Patterson. So that was a highlight for me to interview Pat. You know, 60 years in wrestling this year, Kenny.
Did you think in 2014 when you decided to crush all of our dreams and stop writing Power Slam that 4 years later you'd be doing interviews with Pat Patterson?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, but you never know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, I've got to give you credit, Kenny, for setting this one up. You were the architect behind this. And it was great to talk to Pat Patterson. We talked about his career in like Pacific Northwest and San Francisco, and his move to Vince McMahon Sr.'s WWF in 79. And then his career backstage as Vince McMahon's booker. Then, of course, his run as one of Vince's stooges during the Attitude Era. So we talked about all sorts of different things. And I think people will enjoy it. I enjoyed doing the interview. I know you're looking forward to reading it, Kenny.
Yeah, no, I love reading the interviews. So far, you've done interviews with James Ellsworth, Jim Ross, two-parter, and now Pat Patterson. So we're setting the bar here in these interviews. We started with James Ellsworth. The bar was set after that. But you know,
yeah, the bar's been raised.
It has. Well, funnily enough, when you spoke to James Ellsworth, I mean, I don't want to say that we contributed to it, but you know, he did say to you he was going to return, and then he did return.
He did do, and I bet. And looking back, I wonder if he wishes that he hadn't returned, because a lot of the magic and a lot of the good feelings that people had about James Ellsworth were kind of washed away by that comeback.
Way to put a downer on that, Finn.
But when I did the interview, people still really liked James Ellsworth, and then he came back for the Carmella Asuka feud, and that kind of did him in, didn't it?
It did. But other news, which is very, very exciting, is next weekend is the Wrestling Media Con in Manchester, and one of the inductees to the Wrestling Media Hall of Fame is my cohort here, Finn Martin. Finn, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You've made it.
I've made it after, what's this, 20, coming up 27 years, writing about wrestling. It's my time. No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the whole convention. I hope plenty of people who are listening to this will be there. It'd be great to meet you. And I'm looking forward to the event in the evening, the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Now, I heard that you had one demand. One diva demand when they said, look, Finn, we're doing this Wrestling Media Con, we're doing a Wrestling Media Hall of Fame to kind of honour everybody in wrestling media, and you said, right, I'll do it, but you need to find an inductor that is a megastar, a superstar. So I don't know who they're going to come up with for you, but I know they're going to pull through, because they wouldn't give you anything less.
I believe it's James Ellsworth.
Can you imagine? Oh, it'd be so good.
It's you again.
it's just actually been announced yesterday as well. So I'm going to be doing two shows at the Wrestling Media Con on the Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for an hour. I'm going to be doing a State of Wrestling address with Sean Waltman. So that's going to be a pretty fun show.
Yes.
And then on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I'll be doing a live onstage show with Dave Meltzer, where we're going to be talking about all the stuff that he's covered in wrestling through the years. But now, if you're not coming to Wrestling Media Con, you're like, how am I going to check this out, though? How am I going to check out the Waltman Show or the Meltzer Show or any of the, you know, Rev Pro shows? Wrestling Media Con is going to be on Fight TV. So you're going to be able to check out the onstage shows, and you'll be able to check out the wrestling events on Fight TV. You can head over to fight.tv for more info on that. But yeah, I think you can do the full weekend for $30, or you can do one of the days for $20. And there'll be a ton of stuff, so it's worth checking out a lot. And it's you know, it's a better deal. Well, it's not a better deal, but it's a lot cheaper than like Starcast. So, you know, if you don't have the $100 to put across for Starcast, you can pay the $20 or $30 and see two Rev Pro shows, an Impact show, the Dave Meltzer show. There's a Pat Patterson show with Sean Waltman. There's a plethora of stuff, Finn.
There's all sorts going on. Plus, you and I are going to be there, Kenny. We're the main event, of course.
We are the main draw. We're going to say, we're rocking Hogan, even if we don't go on last. we'll not say who Triple H and Jericho are. Anyway, there's that going on. Is there anything else? I'm trying to think. I think that's everything.
What more do people want?
What more do people want? But also, I guess we should very quickly just say Wrestle Talk magazine issue 6 is now out as well. We mentioned it a little bit last week, but you can pick that up where Finn did an interview with Doug Williams. What was the other thing you did in the issue?
The Extreme Rules review. So, and also Wrestling Rivalries Revisited, Ric Flair versus Sting.
There you go. And I interviewed Colt Cabana in there. James Dixon takes a look back at SummerSlam 92. There's a ton of stuff in there. And, you know, Finn had to sit through Extreme Rules a second time. So, you know, for that, he deserves some praise. So I guess, you know, before we get into any of the WWE stuff that's going on, let's talk a little bit about All In. All In's coming up this weekend in the suburb of Chicago. So let's kind of just run down the card and just see what we think of any of them. So, first of all, with All In, are you surprised, you know, that we've got to All In? It's 10,000 people and it's sold out and they've got a big, you know, convention over the weekend. Do you think it could it mean the start of something, or do you think it's more of a one and done?
I think if it's well received, and it should be, because this is an audience that's into all these characters, as we've said before, I think they could do these a couple of times a year. I mean, they're not going to do anything huge before the Ring of Honor New Japan show at MSG in April. But I can imagine them doing something maybe next summer. I think we're going to have a repeat for sure. Because it feels like such a huge event, and it feels like a milestone, like a huge milestone in wrestling history. I think they're going to do it again for sure. I mean, with that, I mean, they sold the tickets in, was it 30 minutes?
30 minutes, yeah. And then MSG sold it in 13 minutes for ROH and New Japan. So a lot going on.
Yeah, there's demand for this. And if there's demand for it, then there'll be supply. That's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're also doing a 1 hour zero. Is it called 0 hour? The 0 hour special in WGN America.
Yes.
Which is a test, I guess, to see if that's gonna be something that people are gonna enjoy or people are gonna want more of. There's two matches on the pre-show. There's an over budget battle royal.
Yes.
Which is a 15-man battle royal. The winner will go on to the main show to face Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal. So the competitors so far are Jordan Grace, Moose, Rocky Romero, Colt Cabana, Ethan Page, Brian Cage, Billy Gunn, Jimmy Jacobs, Marco Stunt, Brandon Cutler, and Punishment Martinez. One's got to think that you might see Flip Gordon in there as well. Maybe.
Yeah.
So, and then the other match on the pre-show is the Briscoe Brothers against SoCal Uncensored, which is Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. But this is the main card. So I guess, Finn, I'll read out the main card. Just let me know what do you think could be the match of the night? What matches do you think could have some interesting developments? So we've got Jay Lethal versus the winner of the Battle Royal. We have a four-way women's match with Madison Rayne, Britt Baker, Chelsea Green, Tessa Blanchard. We have Stephen Amell against Christopher Daniels. A six-man tag, Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido against the Golden Elite, which is the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi. Joey Janela against Hangman Page. Kazuchika Okada against Marty Scurll. The NWA World Title on the line, Cody Rhodes defend against Nick Aldis. And Kenny Omega versus Pentagon. What do you think is going to be the match of the night, and what are going to be the standouts, do you think?
Is it not Nick Aldis defending against Cody Rhodes?
Yes, that is. Did I say Cody Rhodes defending against Nick Aldis?
Yes, yes.
Maybe that's a Freudian slip of what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it, to predict the outcome of that one.
Is that sarcasm there, Finn?
Can you imagine if Nick Aldis did return the title? I mean, I would pay to see that. I'll be paying to see it anyway. That would be really I think probably the six-man match will grab match of the night honours. Probably with Okada versus Skrull in competition with that for match of the night honours. I like the sound of the women's match. I think that should be really good. And as I've said before, I'm a big fan of Tessa Blanchard. I always thought Chelsea Green, who used to be, what was she called in Impact Wrestling? I've forgotten her name. How embarrassing. She was the one who...
Is it Ali?
No, not Ali. It was Ali's opponent. She was the one who went crazy after she'd been jilted at the altar.
Laurel Van Ness.
Laurel Van Ness, of course. I thought she was a really good performer. I was really sad to see her go from Impact. I thought there are better wrestlers out there, but as a character, I thought she was really good. She did some really good character work in Impact Wrestling, so I was kind of sad to see her go. So I think that match will be really good. I think the atmosphere will be huge. I mean, the fans are there. They want this show to succeed. I mean, it kind of be like one of those early huge shows that Insane Championship Wrestling put on, which was the first big show. Was it the Fear and Loathing?
It was the Fear and Loathing 2015, Fear and Loathing 2014, the one where Grado fought Drew with Mick Foley. No, that was 2015. Grado and Drew with Mick Foley as the referee at the SECC.
Did they not do the one at the, what was the smaller venue that they did?
So 2015 was the SECC one, and then the 2016 was when they went to the Hydro.
Hydro, that's right, yeah. So I think the fans, just like with the ICW fans there, they felt that, you know, something, this was huge. This was a turning point for the company. And I think the fans are all in. Will be just as enthused for this. Even though this is the first show that All In's actually run, I think it will still garner that type of response. So I think the atmosphere is going to make every match seem better than it would be if it was on another show. But I think they've got some good matches lined up, Kenny. Some really good matches. Which one are you most looking forward to?
I've got to say, I think that I don't think that Cody and Nick Aldis is a match that everyone would be like, oh my God, I'm desperate to see this match. But I do want to give some props to Dave Lagana and the 10 Pounds of Gold series. I think they've done a really good job building it up and kind of putting some prestige behind the NWA World title, which hadn't been there before. So props to them for that. But I think match-wise, the Omega and Pentagon match is probably going to be the best one. The six-man's going to have some really fun stuff in it as well. People forget that Stephen Amell's not bad. You know, he famously did the match at SummerSlam with was it him and Neville against Barrett and Stardust?
That's right, yeah, that's right. And that's going to be a good one for the mainstream publicity as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think this is like a blowaway card, but at the same time, maybe this wasn't the time to do the blowaway card because they'd already sold it out.
Yeah.
I know Cody Rhodes had said that they actually did make an offer to Punk at one point.
Yeah.
And he, you know, which goes against what he was saying about nobody's ever made me an offer, but...
Maybe the offer was made after he did that interview.
Maybe that's the case. But yeah, I think it's going to be a fun night. I think the atmosphere is going to be really good from that crowd.
I think so as well. Yeah, you're right. Kenny Omega versus Pentagon. I mean, Pentagon had a hell of a match at Slammiversary. I mean, that's basically Kenny Omega. He can have a good match with almost anyone. I mean, he really can. So I mean, that's going to be really good as well. But I think the six-man is the match I'm most looking forward to. And also, hopefully, Mike Skill will have a good night against Okada. Hopefully, that'll be a really big night for him.
And we'll be covering all in next week on the podcast. So look forward to hearing us talk about that. I did want to ask you about, there's been a couple of developments in the UK. First of all, World of Sport have rebounded in the ratings a little bit. They had a 28% increase this week with a, I think it was 740,000 with a peak audience of 900,000, which is, you know, you did say we're going to have to wait to week 5, week 6, week 7 to see what happens.
Wasn't it week 8, week 9, week 10? Didn't yeah. I say that as
By
well?
The end of it, you'd added a week 11 onto it. But... But no, you know, they've a 28% increase is nothing to be sniffed at halfway no. through a run. So you did say you got a chance to check it out recently. I've not had a chance to check it World of Sport the last couple of weeks, but I've heard good things from people who've watched it that have said it's been good fun. So hopefully that means that they're going to...
Definitely. The August 18th episode, Will Ospreay versus Martin Kirby, that was really good effort. The Creator and Robbie X versus Grado and Davey Boy Smith Jr. tag team tournament match. Even though Creator was in the match, that was pretty good as well.
In spite of Creator, it was good.
Creator abandoned Robbie X and Grado.
Looks like he abandoned wrestling training as well at some point.
It cracks me up when they say he's 36 stone. I mean, you expect a certain level of exaggeration, you know, but that's beyond any reasonable threshold. Any reasonable threshold. He's not 36 stone. So that was quite interesting. But the main event was the best match up until that point in the series. And that was Joe Hendry versus Justin Sizem versus Nathan Cruz. I mean, these guys can move. I mean, that was a really, really good match. If you haven't seen that match and you're not really a fan of the World of Sport Wrestling, I urge you to check that out. I think that was episode 4, the August 18th episode. I believe that to be true. Mm. So that was a hell of a main event.
They've announced it for episode 6, which is coming up this weekend. It's going to be Rampage against Davey Boy Smith Jr. for the WS title. Joe Hendry versus Martin Kirby in a submission match and a tag title match with Chris Sabian and Mr. Reese against Nathan Cruz and Adam Maxted for the title. So lots of stuff coming up there. But there's also been two other bits of news in the UK. Rev Pro have announced that they've got a deal with Free Sports, which you know, famously had Five Star Wrestling earlier on this year. They're going to be doing TV with them.
Oh, wow.
Taping shows on the 5th and 6th of September at York Hall. And they're going to air on a tape delay starting in late September. And also, Preston City Wrestling have announced that they've been added to the Fight Network UK, where they are going to be taping shows at Blackpool Tower Circus and in Preston. And they, as of right now, Preston City Wrestling use talents from both WWE UK and World of Sport, but you've got to imagine that's going to change with this, but...
I would think so, yeah.
What do you make of this? A couple more promotions getting on TV in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure all these promotions have learned from the errors that Five Star Wrestling made. I mean, I'm sure they detected the errors Five Star Wrestling had made before they made them. You know, they're not going to do this and go over budget. They're doing shows, taping them, cutting them up, you know, editing them up and then presenting a 1 or 2 hour show. I'm not sure how long the programs are going to be. So it's really good for them in terms of exposure. It's all about, I mean, I did an interview with Andy Quilden in 2016, I believe it was, yeah, for my third book. And we talked about this. We talked about where's it all going. And he said, well, I'm only going to do something that makes sense from a financial standpoint. So if you've got your feet on your on the ground, which he has, he's going to do something which he's obviously considered thoroughly. And it's something that he believes is in the best interests of his company, and he's not going to put him in the hole financially, which is, of course, what happened with Five Star Wrestling, spending far too much money on shows that were lasting too long and bringing in talent and that they could ill afford, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's something that's going to be it's positive steps forward for companies that are ready to make this move, this leap from being non-televised on a TV channel or a subscription service to being ready to do that. So I'm sure they've thought it through thoroughly, and they believe that it can work, that it's financially viable. So I think it's really good news for both promotions, really good news for all the talent. And maybe this is, you know, maybe the whole world of sport thing has been an incentive for them to do this. They think, well, this is happening. Wrestling's profile in this country is growing. We need to capitalize on that by making the move now. Maybe this is all, you know, the upshot of World of Sport Wrestling. And the fact, as you say, World of Sport Wrestling's ratings have risen does give, you know, one, you know, more confidence that, that these moves are going to be successful. So, yeah, I think it's really good. Really good for all involved. And I'm sure they've thought it through. I'm sure they've done the numbers. And hopefully it'll be really good for them in terms of progression and growth, you know.
Yeah, and also I meant to say, starting this Saturday on September 1st, World of Sport is now moving to 4:30 p.m. start time instead of 5 p.m. So, just so everyone knows, it's going to be 4:30 till 5:30 rather than 5 till 6. So if you're checking it out, remember that. SummerSlam next year is going to be in Toronto, Canada. What do you make of the move of them going to Toronto? They put a big press release out. It's actually been pushed forward a week. It's going to be on the weekend of August 10th. They're also going to do a fan access, so they seem to go all out for this. What do you make of Toronto as a market?
Well, Toronto's always been a great city for the company, dating back to, you know, 86 when they did, was it the big event, Paul Orndorff versus Hulk Hogan?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they did WrestleMania 5, not, was it WrestleMania?
WrestleMania 6 and then
six.
WrestleMania 18.
WrestleMania 6, yeah, Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan. It's always been a terrific city. It was always a really good city for Hulk Hogan. He always drew really well there. So they've had a long, long history there. And, yeah, maybe the Barclays Center is feeling, you know, a little bit, their nose has been pushed out of joint. You know, why are we not getting you again? But maybe they think, you know, it's time to try something else. And Toronto's always been a good city for the company. And, yeah, there's not really a whole lot to read into it, Kenny. I mean, it's just always been a good market for the company. And I'm sure whatever WWE does there is going to be successful. I mean, they ran Raw and SmackDown there this week, back-to-back tapings. So, you know, it's always been a WWE town ever since Vince expanded nationally in, you know, 84, 85.
Neville has been officially released from WWE. He had quit last October and pretty much refused to come back ever since. His contract was frozen, but he's now been released. There's no non-compete clause, so he can go and do whatever he wants. What do you think's next for Neville?
Maybe we'll see him at All In this weekend.
It seems likely.
Hmm.
What is his future, the former Pac? Do you think he'll make it big on the independent scene?
I mean, I don't know. I would think so. I mean, I would think he's going to be embraced by the Bullet Club guys. Maybe he'll become part of the team. He would seem like a good addition. The storyline really writes itself, doesn't it?
He seems like the perfect sort of, like, if you hate WWE or you don't like them, he can be like your guy. You know, he walked out on the system.
He did, yeah, and stuck to his guns, sat at home for 10 months. You know, he was a guy that, I mean, he was a guy that refused to go along with the WWE's program and said, well, I'm not doing that. I'm going home. I'll sit at home for 10 months rather than do your bidding. So he's a guy with principles. And I think you can do a lot with that in wrestling. I think he's somebody that can do so much with the All In guys. I think he's somebody that you would think that Ring of Honor and New Japan are going to want to work with. He did some stuff in New Japan. I think it was the 2013 Best of the Super Junior tournament. He was in that. I think that's correct. Did some matches there with Prince Devitt. I think he's got a lot to offer a lot of companies. And right now is an excellent time for someone like Neville or Pac or whatever name he uses. He obviously won't be using the Neville name. Perhaps he'll be going back to the Pac name. There's so many opportunities out there for him to capitalize on. So I think the timing could not be better when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see what he's going to do. I think he will be welcomed with open arms as much as he wants to do. I would be amazed if he is not part of that MSG show next April. It just feels like he's the sort of guy that could be a big part of that card and do crazy stuff that people are going to love.
I mean, as we've just said, there's all sorts of things happening in the UK now that he could be part of. He could be do something with New Japan, do something with Ring of Honor, do something with the All In guys. Mm-hmm. I can see him make an appearance at All In this weekend. Maybe he'll come out at the end and he'll be Cody's first. Oh, we don't want to do a spoiler there with Cody. Maybe whoever wins.
Look at you. Come
there at the end and potentially be the challenger to whomever wins the NWA World Title match.
You've saved that beautifully, Finn.
But that would be, I think, a blockbuster way to end the show. You know, I wrote in my last column for Patreon that could be a tremendous thing to do for CM Punk, but if he's really through with pro wrestling, then that's not going to happen. But Neville, I think, would be a more than adequate substitute, and it would be like, get people talking at the end, what's Neville going to do? Is he going to challenge Cody? Is there going to be another show? I mean, there's so much. So, you know, it's all about, as we talked last week, it's all about fantasy booking and getting people imagining what could happen. So I will be stunned if Neville is not at All In this weekend, Kenny.
So we shall see. So up next, let's talk about Raw. Raw this week, lot of stuff happening. The three big things, let's go through them. We had Roman Reigns open the show with Braun Strowman. They had a back and forth. Strowman says he's going to cash in at Hell in a Cell inside the cell. And then later on the night, we have Strowman and Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. And in the end, Braun Strowman turns heel on Roman Reigns, aligning with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. What did you make of the way they played it throughout the night and the turn itself?
I mean, I felt that the reaction to the main event when in the opening segment when they were setting it up, the reaction was quite disappointing. Roman Reigns came out to loud boos, of course. He calls out Braun Strowman, who arrived and complained about the run-ins by Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose the previous week when he was attempting to cash in the contract, the Money in the Bank contract. Then Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler came out. I felt that the response to them was sort of muted, really, for an opening segment in Toronto, which I've just been talking about as a red-hot WWE city. I thought the reaction to those two was again, a letdown. And then Baron Corbin comes out. He's the acting GM of Raw. I'm not sure if we talked about this last week, that Kurt Angle was effectively sent home.
He was, and now the Constable has been promoted to the acting GM. My favourite line was when he said, I'm going to give you guys a match that even Kurt Angle couldn't dream of. And then he makes the tag match. What a troll.
I mean, it was, you know, hardly groundbreaking, was it? You know, it was just total, like, it was just basic WWE booking. So there wasn't really much of a reaction for the announcement of that main event. So I thought it was quite a flat opening segment, Kenny. What did you think?
I enjoyed the stuff with Roman and Braun. I thought that was good. And then the rest of it was kind of filler. But I guess it played into the main event. What did you make of the Strowman heel turn? I'm very curious to see what you make of this.
Yeah, it was, well, I mean, the main event was, there wasn't really a whole lot to the main event. I mean, Reigns mostly sold. So, you know, let's give him credit for doing that. Then he finally makes a hot tag to Strowman, and Strowman refuses to tag in. It didn't really seem to go down very well with the audience. And then Strowman finally comes in. After he refused to tag in, Dolph and Drew McIntyre started beating down Roman Reigns. Then Strowman comes in, the match is thrown out. Then Strowman beats down Reigns as well. And Strowman celebrates at the end with Drew and Dolph. Kind of feels to me like a bit of a ruse. I don't think this is a proper heel turn, Kenny. I think at some point, Braun, possibly next week, Braun is going to turn on Dolph and Drew McIntyre. Maybe they'll spin this one out for a while. Doesn't feel like a fully fledged heel turn to me. That's my interpretation.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard that. So you think it's maybe just like a ruse to lure people in, but really he's not turning?
I don't think he is turning, because Braun as a heel, I don't think it's really going to work, and he's far more effective as a babyface, as we've seen. I don't think so, no. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but I don't think Braun's heart is really in the heel turn. And he wasn't really doing the full-on menacing heel stuff that he was doing back in like 2016. He feels to me like this is part of a bigger story. But I mean, at the same time, we sort of need a heel. We need to believe that Braun is a heel, I think, for the Roman Reigns match. Vince doesn't really like presenting babyface versus babyface matches, and especially when Reigns is involved, you know. So it's obviously we had a Reigns versus Finn Balor match last week, which was babyface versus babyface. What I mean is
like pay-per-view, big time pay-per-view.
Yeah, in the cell. So I just sort of feel like, I don't know whether, I think we sort of need Braun as a heel there, but I'm not convinced it's a proper heel turn. Like, I can see him turning again after Hell in a Cell. Because it's hard for me to believe that it took so long for Vince to take the title off Lesnar and put it on Reigns. It's hard for me to believe that Reigns is going to lose the belt to Strowman. Especially this character, which people were confused by in Toronto. I don't think Reigns is losing to Strowman at Hell in a Cell. And certainly not like a heel or a tweener or whatever you want to call him, or somebody who's pretending to be a heel. I don't think the time is right now to take the belt off Reigns and put it on Strowman, especially this version of Strowman. I think that, you know, the heel turns kind of flattened him out a bit. But I think after Hell in a Cell, he will then come to Roman Reigns' rescue, or maybe that'll happen before Hell in a Cell. But I don't think this is a genuine bona fide heel turn by Braun Strowman. I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out, but I think this is just, they've just done this really for the purposes of promoting the match between Reigns and Strowman at Hell in a Cell. But after that, I think Braun will be a babyface again.
There we go. I've not heard that theory yet, so it's a pretty interesting theory. We'll see if it plays out.
It just didn't feel like a wholehearted heel turn by Strowman. That was my take on it.
Well, one of the other big topics on the show is we did see the kind of return of Kevin Owens. He'd had the week off last week to face Seth Rollins in a stormer of a match. And then post-match, Kevin Owens quits the promotion. What did you make of Kevin Owens' return, the match, and the angle afterwards?
Yeah, really enjoyed the match. I mean, it was red hot. I mean, this was the sort of crowd that WWE wants in Toronto. So it just showed that it was more what was presented in the opening segment rather than the crowd that was at fault, because the fans could not have been more into this match. I mean, it was white hot out there. I thought there was two really good false finishes. Owens hit a Stone Cold Stunner. Rollins kicked out on two. Fans believe that could have been a title change there. And then Owens hit a super kick, and that was a really good false finish as well. In the end, Rollins hit the curb stomp after Owens had missed a moonsault. So I thought it was a terrific match. Then they went backstage, then we came back to the ring, and Owens is there. Genuinely looked like he'd been crying. So some good acting there from Kevin Owens. What do you think to that, Kenny?
Yeah, I thought Owens was great here. I thought he really nailed it. I actually think that him coming back and doing this was better than had they just left him after SummerSlam.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was there. He said prior to the match that, you know, if Sami Zayn had been here, you know, my best friend, I would be champion now. I would have beaten Braun Strowman. I would have gone on to beat Brock Lesnar, blah, blah, blah. So it was a nice little mention of Sami Zayn there, keeping his name alive. So Kevin Owens has been in the ring. He must have been in the ring for a long time, because we've had an ad break and then we had stuff backstage. And he really seemed genuinely upset. And, you know, when you're watching WWE today, because it's so heavily scripted and micromanaged, it's not often that you can really believe things. And I felt like Owens genuinely looked like he was deeply upset by the way his career had gone. And that must have been quite an acting job by Kev, because he just had this sterling match with Seth Rollins. So he must have been really pleased with the way the match had gone and the reaction to it after he'd been hammered by Braun Strowman at SummerSlam. So he really redeemed himself and just really risen back in people's estimations again. So it was a doubly good acting job that he had to seem despondent after having such an incredible match with Seth Rollins. So then Kevin Owens just took the mic and just said, "I quit." So does anyone believe that Kevin Owens really has quit? What's the mood out there, Kenny?
I don't think anybody thinks he's really quit, but what I will say is they have he was not on the card in London, England last night when he was advertised. And he has been moved. I think he's been moved to the alumni section of WWE's website. I'm just going to check that right now. But, you know, I like that they're playing along with it at house shows. You know, like he didn't fly over and go on this UK tour, even though he was supposed to be there.
Yeah, I mean, in years past, he would have said, well, I'm just here because I'm fulfilling my contractual obligations. They would have done that one, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and then, exactly.
Yeah, they would have done so. They wouldn't, on the house shows, they would not have honoured the on-screen storyline. So, yeah, props to them for the continuity there on TV and off TV. So I really enjoyed it. And he needed summer. Kevin Owens needed summer. He needed a match like this.
And he has actually been taken off the Raw Superstars page on the website. And he's been moved over to WWE Alumni.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, Kevin Owens needed summer like this after the beating he received from Braun Strowman. So, yeah, I think this is probably WWE's. I mean, this has erased memories of what happened at SummerSlam, which was the goal of this storyline. So mission accomplished. Good work, WWE.
There you go. And one of the other segments on Raw that people were talking about was Elias was strumming his guitar, making fun of Toronto, and we saw the return of Trish Stratus, who came out and had a bit of a verbal sparring with Elias. What did you make of Trish's return?
Trish came out. She's a little bit awkward on the mic. I mean, she usually was. I liked her in the 2005 heel run. I thought that was the highlight of her career. It didn't last that long, so I think she had like quite a serious back injury, and she was like really good that year. She came out and she got the nostalgia pop. And Elias said to her, "I have to break it to you, Trish. I don't date women in their 60s." And then Trish slapped him. It was all right.
I thought it was quite fun. There was also a line where Elias said, you know, just like, you know, Toronto will never get the Stanley Cup again or whatever. And then Trish said, kind of like you winning a WWE championship. But there was some quite good burns. She looks great. She's facing Alexa Bliss at the Evolution pay-per-view. We then saw Alexa Bliss come out. I wanted to get your take on this. Last week you were very critical of the Ronda Rousey-Alexa Bliss match at SummerSlam. And they've brought Alexa Bliss out here and said that she's invoking her rematch clause at Hell in a Cell. They actually did a singles match last night with Ronda and Alexa in London. They brought in Mickie James kind of to say, well, you know, Trish, we've got someone you're quite familiar with. What did you make of the whole kind of women's segment there and how they handled all that?
I was not impressed, Kenny. I mean, they announced that Alexa Bliss is facing Trish Stratus at Evolution. So it's hard for me to believe that Bliss is going to be champion when she faces Trish. I don't think that's going to happen. So it kind of telegraphed the outcome of the Hell in a Cell match. Why exactly is Bliss... Okay, Bliss is... She was champion. But she received such a beating that does anyone really want to see a rematch between Bliss and Ronda Rousey? There was barely any response in the arena to Bliss's announcement. I thought, I mean, this was an audience, as we know, that was really did like certain aspects of the show, as we just mentioned, the Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins match. There was virtually no response to Bliss's announcement that she would face Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell. So I thought that was quite telling. I thought that was an indictment, really, of what had happened at SummerSlam. They brought out Mickie James, but that didn't really mean much. Then we had a Natalya versus Alicia Fox match, which everyone knew who was winning that. Natalya won with a sharpshooter, a bit of a nothing match. Probably the most interesting aspect of this whole segment to me was when Natalya and Ronda Rousey were backstage and they ran into the Bellas, who were booed. God, the fans really disliked the Bellas. And the Bellas were like as disingenuous as usual, but the fans have already sort of decided that these two are heels. I think the fans have already worked out that the Bellas are going to do a heel turn at some point, probably after Hell in a Cell. So that was the most interesting part of this whole segment to me, was the Bellas' appearance backstage, which is, I think, going to set something up at the Evolution pay-per-view. I think the Bellas are going to turn and they'll do something with Ronda Rousey and Natalya probably on the show. That's what I'm expecting.
I almost feel like at the Hell in a Cell show they're going to do what you wanted them to do at SummerSlam with Alexa Bliss. Like, I feel like that's when she's going to resort to her tactics and, you know, try and hit her with something and get some offense in. I feel like that's what we're going to get this time around. I do wonder with the Bellas if whether Bree's going to stay babyface because she's doing the stuff with Brian.
I think she can turn after Hell in a Cell because that's just going to be one match.
Yeah, true.
Bree's disappear, and then we're going to have Miz versus Brian at the Super Showdown event. So I think the Bellas can do the heel turn and Bree can go on Raw exclusively with Nikki. So if that's where that's all leading, then at least the fans will react to it in the way that WWE would like them to. That, and we'll come back to this a little bit later when we're talking about Becky Lynch.
True. Well, let's go into... So overall with Raw in Toronto, what do you think of the show overall?
I thought it was kind of average. I thought it was kind of an average show, really. Dean Ambrose versus Jinder Mahal was deeply average. I mean, such an average match.
Were you expecting a masterclass from the former WWE champion?
No. But Dean Ambrose seemed really hot last week. And in here with Jinder, he just felt like just another guy, like already the honeymoon's over. Bobby Lashley versus The Ascension was like classic third hour Raw match, just meant nothing. The Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre match, as Reigns is getting beaten down by Braun, Dolph and Drew, we had Dean come out without Seth. These three are all supposed to be united, you know, the Shield. So Dean comes out on his own without Seth. And then after he's got beaten down, Seth comes out and then he gets beaten down. So I thought the baby faces looked like Muppets. I thought they looked like idiots. Why the hell didn't Dean and Seth come out together? So I thought that was pretty weak. There was some good stuff on it, but no, I think we've definitely had better Raws, and certainly last week's Raw was much better than this. What did you think, Kenny?
I actually liked the show overall. I thought they had enough points going through that made it. You know, I liked the open stuff with Roman and Braun. I thought the Kevin Owens Seth Rollins match was brilliant. I liked the Kevin Owens quitting thing. I thought Trish and Elias was fun. I liked the turn at the end. So I think there was enough to keep me interested. Sometimes with Raw, I feel like with 3 hours, you can get so bored. And I mean, they did put a lot of the boring stuff in the third hour, sadly. But at least we got the turn at the end to have something noteworthy to talk about. Or whatever it was.
Yeah. I could be wrong about that. But I just don't feel like Braun's heart is really into this heel turn. So anyway, we will revisit this weeks to come.
Yeah, no, I'm interested by the theory to see if it pans out. SmackDown. Talk to me about SmackDown overall. What did you think of that show? The high points and the low points.
Yeah, I enjoyed SmackDown a lot more. I thought SmackDown was a really good show. I enjoyed the opening segment. New Day talked about being 5-time tag team champions. And then we had King Booker come out. I thought that was a really fun way to open the show. I thought that was a real laugh. And what did you think of Booker T when he played the King character back in 2006, I believe it was? What did you think of it back then, Kenny?
It's funny because I hated it then, but I kind of have grown to enjoy it in hindsight. Which is like, at the time I was just like, oh, it didn't do much for me, but I appreciate it more now. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I mean, it was sort of, it was an act that probably would have worked if it wasn't every week. But he did some really funny stuff and he looked like he was having a good time. And I always like it when performers are out there and you can see they're enjoying themselves. Because I think a lot of times, especially in this current era, a lot of people are out there and they're doing stuff and you know that the heart's not really into it. I always felt Booker really wanted to do that. And I always find it funny as well when veteran acts send themselves up. So, and I thought it was a barrel of laughs. I've got to say, I'm not a huge fan of the New Day. I know lots of people are. I like, when I say, excuse me, when I say I'm not a huge fan of the New Day, as performers, I do quite like them. But as characters, I find them quite, sorry, Kenny, can I just stop for a second? Oh. Yeah, the New Day, as wrestlers, I think they're really good. But as characters, at times I do find them quite annoying. But I thought they were a lot of fun as well on this show, and it was really funny when Booker's there, he called Xavier Woods Lord Xavier, then Kofi became Sir Kofi, and then Booker didn't have a title for Big E, and Big E got a little bit miffed, and you know, it looked like they might have a fallout, and then they sorted it all out, and then Booker.
And what was so funny about that is that Big E's the one that always tries to reference Booker T. And he gives the name to the other two, but not to Big E.
That's right. Yes. I thought that was pretty funny that he didn't get the title. And then Booker, he wasn't allowed to leave before he did a spin-a-rooney. And then New Day all tried to do spin-a-roonies. And I just thought it was a real fun segment. And that's when I just thought it was a really hot way to start the show. And the crowd were really into it as well. So I really enjoyed that. That was followed by a triple threat match between Epico and Primo on SmackDown. What are they doing on SmackDown?
Somebody found Epico and Primo. Where were they?
We found
that one of them was injured.
Yeah, I think Corey Graves said that Epico's been out with a shoulder injury. That's what he said. I think WWE had just forgot about them for how long is it since they last appeared? Many, many months. So they wrestled Gallows and Anderson, another team we've seen very little of. And then Sheamus and Cesaro in a triple threat match. And Sheamus and Cesaro won, of course. But I thought that was a really good match. For like, considering it was obvious that Sheamus and Cesaro were going to win, I felt that they created and the work was good enough that it created an element of doubt over the outcome. So I thought that was a really good match as well. And that was a match that really had no right to be good. And still was.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. It was the thing about SmackDown is it feels like everybody on the show has a purpose, or like everybody's involved in something that's leading to something. And yes. I think that's what's good about it.
That's right. So Sheamus and Cesaro won, and they will face the winners of another triple threat match, I think, to determine the challengers to the New Day at Hell in a Cell. I believe that is correct.
Yeah, that's right. So next week we've got Rusev Day, Sanity, and the Usos. The winners of that face The Bar, and then the winners of that face New Day at Hell in a Cell.
Yes. So Paige had announced that Rusev and Aiden English would be in that match that you've just mentioned. We had a Becky Lynch video. I noticed that they changed the sound of the crowd reaction to Lynch's attack on Charlotte at SummerSlam. I was having flashbacks there, Kenny, to Royal Rumble 1992 with Sid Justice and Hulk Hogan.
It's funny, like, because I'd never watched that live. And I don't think that was on live in the UK, was it? We always got the tape version.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So we would have never got the version where Sid gets booed, where Hogan gets booed. I do. It's funny because I'm, you know, massive Hogan fan, but that's always one where I kind of go, well, Hogan, you were the dick there, not Sid.
Exactly, and that's why people booed him, and that and other reasons, of course, which I wrote about quite recently, Kenny.
You did. I thoroughly enjoyed that in the Q&A. You get these little these little bits and pieces on there that just make it even for me, someone who thinks I know a lot of stuff. There's new stuff for me to learn in the Q&As. So
we're always learning every day, Kenny, as wrestling fans.
Before we talk about the big Becky Lynch thing, that's obviously the big story. But I want to ask you something, because I think you're Mr. Fair, right? That's what I would see you as. You're someone, even if you don't like somebody or you don't like something, you're the first to give somebody credit or props. Even John Cena, you've given him props.
Yeah, I put him over on when we did the Greatest Royal Rumble. I put over his match with Triple H.
Yeah, even though his face is a dartboard in your house, you put him over on the podcast, and that's just important. but I want to ask you, because there's been a lot of online hatred towards the Bella Twins recently, and it's been about, you know, them maybe not deserving to be involved in the Evolution show. My side of it has been kind of trying to put across what their value is and why they're maybe being involved. But there's been another sort of section of people who have said that Daniel Bryan being involved with Brie on television is just something they don't enjoy, they don't want to watch it. There's other people who think it's actually been a really good storyline. Where do you sit on it? Specifically, like this week, the whole Brian and Brie thing leading into the Almas match, leading to the post-match beatdown on both of them. Where do you sit on it? Is it effective? Is it good storytelling? Is it not? Is it affecting your enjoyment? Is it not? How do you feel about it?
Well, I've got to say that in classic pro wrestling fashion, I've done a U-turn. Not the first one that I've done in my life, Kenny.
We've all done many. We've all done. If somebody had told me that Braun Strowman and the Wyatts would have been one of my favourite guys, I would have laughed you out the shop.
Exactly. So I understand why people are saying that, because Brie, I do absolutely get where they're coming from. And they are right. But what you've got to do is you've got to look at this match that's coming up at Hell in a Cell between Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella and The Miz and Maryse as just a way of extending this storyline without wearing the feud out. That's what it's all there for. It's just to keep it simmering before it erupts next year, as I talked about in last week's podcast. So I thought the angle on this week's SmackDown involving Brie, Maryse, Andrade Almas, Lina Vega, Daniel Bryan, I thought that was a really good angle. I thought it was a really strong way of promoting this mixed tag team match at Hell in a Cell. I understand why people aren't really that interested in seeing the match, and I don't think it's going to be that great. Because as I said last week, Maryse and Brie Bella, I don't think they're really that, or certainly Maryse, I don't think she's really that interested anymore, and who can blame her? You know, she's got her life now doing these other things that are very successful. As for Brie, you know, maybe she's got more to prove. And if, as I speculated earlier, that the Bellas are going to do the heel turn on Ronda and Natalya, she's going to really need to bring it. She's got something to prove, because that's going to be a high profile match and she's going to have to be better than she's ever been. But as far as what happened this week, it certainly improved or increased my appreciation for the Bellas, because I think the story is something that is important and it's something that is necessary to keep this Miz versus Bryan feud going. I think people have just got to tolerate it. And I think after Hell in a Cell, Maryse and Brie will disappear from the story and it'll be back to Bryan versus Miz and we'll get what they want. So that would be my advice to people. Just grin and bear it, because it's only temporary. You know, they'll be disappearing off to do their own thing, and then it'll be back to Bryan and Miz again, full on. You know, in the hype, in the run up to Super Showdown in Melbourne, October 6th. That's right, isn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, that's right. I've said before, I like the Bellas on a kind of guilty pleasure level, you know. And I think it is unfair, the level of sort of like flack that's put up. Look, you don't need to like them. You do not need to like them, but you do need to accept that part of the reason that the women's evolution happened is partly because of them. And if you don't see that, then like you can't be blind. If you're blind to that, then you can't really fully understand it, which is a problem. You know what I mean? Like, so you can dislike them. You don't have to like them. They are, you know, like on Raw, they were kind of awful, and they're because they weren't put in the roles that maximize them. Like, for example, Brie on Raw was very like, oh God, cringe. But then on SmackDown, she's there defending her husband, where there's an element of realism to it, so you buy it more. And, you know, on Monday, she was getting booed. On Tuesday, she was getting Brie chants. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it just shows you that if you put them in the right environment, they can be good. Nikki Bella worked very hard towards the end of her run to try and deliver matches that were better than the ones she had before, and I think she did do that. You know, she almost broke her neck trying to do it. They have championed the WWE name for years and years and years and tried to get more people watching the product. They've had more women come and see wrestling shows. They've had more women buy merchandise. So they have contributed to WWE. I think that's fair to say.
I think they've certainly contributed to WWE in terms of the Total Bellas show being a success and the Total Divas show being a success. And I think I can understand why people resent them being there, because they're kind of like part-timers. You know, it's kind of like that part-timer.
Which should be the angle, right? They should be these sort of like heel divas who are like coming back to kind of say,
we're above it all. You know, we're not here every week. That they need to turn them. And I'm sure that's going to happen, because as heels, they're just more comfortable as heels than they are as faces, because it's just their natural, that's just the way they come across on TV as heels.
The good thing is that they can go one of two ways with so Nikki Bella is going to turn heel, right? That we all know that. That's where it's going. With Brie Bella, you can do one of two things. You can either turn her heel with Nikki, and then, you know, I don't think they're going to do a tag match at Evolution, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, in the undercard, you can either have Brie versus Natalia if you're turning Brie heel, or if for some reason the Brie and Maryse thing really takes off, you could have Brie and Maryse do something on the undercard. It's not out with the question. I mean, I'd rather see Brie and Natalia with Natalia as the babyface.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. I don't think so. I think Maryse, this is just, she'll just do this match and that'll be it.
Can you believe that Maryse had a kid this year?
Well, yes, I can, because I saw pictures of her when she was pregnant.
Like, how can you, I mean, having a kid and then being able to get yourself back into enough shape to be able to do this kind of stuff? Madness.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's a TV personality, isn't she? She's, I mean, the Miz and Mrs. has been a big hit, already been renewed, as we know. So, I mean, she is a TV person. So, I mean, part of being a TV person is how you look. That's a big part of your, I mean, that's why stars look the way they do, because they need to look like stars. And that's a big part of their working day, is working out and getting the hair done and doing all these other things, just to make themselves look like stars. So yeah, I can believe that she's got herself back in shape, because she's a TV personality and she has a huge incentive to get herself in shape, which is she wants these things to continue. So yeah, I can believe it. Absolutely.
Ladies out there, I'm going to give you more credit than Finn Martin has, right? Because Finn Martin sat there after going through zero pregnancies in his life. Look at him trying to get back in shape, get back. Well, I say that you climb bloody mountains all the time, don't you? Because you're one of those people that gets up and does things, Finn. Well, I'm not like that. I like to get up in the morning, do stuff for a couple of hours, then have a nap.
And then have a takeaway when you wake up.
Shut up, Finn. This isn't about me.
No, I'm not trying to belittle what Maryse has done. Well, I'm just sort of saying, generally speaking, that if you are a star, how you look is a big part of your success as a star.
So if you're a star, your look is currency, right?
Of course it is, absolutely.
So you've got more impetus. I mean, it's like Kate Middleton when she'd had the baby, the royal baby. You know, she was out taking photos in a dress within 3 hours.
She was, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to be. But yeah, so I think the Bellas thing is going to be interesting to see where it goes. They've announced for the Super Showdown there's going to be a 6-woman tag of Ronda and the Bellas against the Riot Squad.
Maybe that'll be when the Bellas do the big turn.
I really hope they do the turn before then, because I think that regardless of whether you like the Bellas or not, or you like this angle or not, I think there's more money in the Bellas turning sooner than that. Because, like, I don't think the Riot Squad have any heat to them.
No.
So I think by putting Ronda in there with the Riot Squad, you're kind of just really diminishing her star power.
Yeah, I mean, something's going to happen there in front of the crowd of that size, an event that they're promoting as hard as they're promoting it. So something's going to happen there. The Riot Squad, they're just there as they're there as bump dummies. Let's face it. You know, this is the Bellas and Ronda show.
Let's move on. The big main event angle, we have Carmella versus Charlotte in a rematch for the SmackDown Women's Championship. How did Carmella do in this match?
I thought she did well. I mean, I thought she looks like she has really turned it up. I mean, some weeks back I said Carmella is somebody that needs to work on a game. I think she's done that. I want to give her credit for that. I thought she accounted herself very well there. She was certainly, I mean, you go back to the Asuka feud, the famous match with Charlotte from, I've probably forgotten the name of the event now. I'm not even going to try to remember the name of the event, but she had a match with Charlotte on pay-per-view. And at that point, you were like dreading seeing Carmella in the ring. But I thought she did well in this match. She's still not convincing as a wrestler. And I'm hoping that this is the end of her participation or in her involvement in the title picture. I'm sure it will be. But I've got to give her credit for her performance here. I thought she did well. What did you think, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I thought she did well. It doesn't mean that I want to see her every week, but she has made improvements. So
she has made improvements. Absolutely, she has. There's no doubt about that. It was quite smooth. I mean, you could see that it was kind of reminded me of like a Ric Flair Lex Luger match, where Rick's sort of doing everything, and certainly the start where they're doing the headlock spots, that was classic Ric Flair. So it was like reminding me a lot of Ric Flair's matches. Charlotte basically sold almost the entire match, then made a comeback at the end with the, I think she hit the natural selection, then she applied the figure eight, Carmella tapped out, and then we had the big angle, didn't we, Kenny?
We did. All people wanted was to see Becky Lynch. So she comes out, she beats up Charlotte from behind, she batters her down, and then she takes the title. She gets in the mic and she says, "At Hell in a Cell, I will get back my title, you bitch," and flings the mic down. I don't want to, you don't want to give them too much credit, but like so whenever they were showing clips of the stuff from last week, they made sure to edit out on YouTube and on this show any elements of Becky Lynch belittling the crowd.
Yes.
And then here, it felt like this was all designed to get Becky Lynch a pop. So I'm confident that they are moving away from Becky Lynch being a full-blown heel. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was full-on heel. This was full-on heel tactics here. Unfortunately, the crowd, crowd erupted with chants of Becky. And then after Becky left, we had the camera on Charlotte again. And I don't think the booing was quite as loud as it was at SummerSlam. But as Charlotte sat there in the ring, digesting what had just occurred, everyone was booing her. Perhaps not as loud as they did at SummerSlam. I'm not sure which way this is going to go. I like the Becky character. The character's got a real edge to it. And maybe...
You mean Stone Cold Becky Lynch?
Well, exactly. I like the Becky character. I think this is a huge improvement on what she was doing prior to SummerSlam, where she was effectively, well, up until a couple of weeks before SummerSlam, she was effectively treading water. Maybe after the Charlotte feud ends, maybe if she's in there with someone else, people will boo her, although I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that at all. Because when you think about it, how many babyface female characters does WWE have, especially on SmackDown, that are really over, that are really popular as faces? And there aren't that many when you think about it. So maybe whoever Becky Lynch faces after Charlotte, she'll get the same response. And if she does, as you said last week, Kenny, that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, it felt to me like there was a change of direction. I know that John Pollock, who used to do live audio wrestling, he now does The Post. He had spoken to a source in WWE who said that they are now treating this as more of a, these are two former best friends who are, you know, engaged in a storyline, and it's not going to be Becky as the heel and Charlotte as the face. So that's a good start.
Yeah.
But Becky Lynch, she has never been more over in her career in WWE.
Absolutely. Absolutely right, Kenny.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I was worried that we were going to come into week two and it was going to be shoved down our throats more, and I think we would have come out of that feeling very dejected. I feel we didn't come out that way, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes as well. I mean, it's, you can see Becky Lynch winning the title at Hell in a Cell. I can see that happening. And I think they've got something with the Becky Lynch character. But as you say, they may have to make some adjustments, because if she stays heel, will all the other faces be booed?
It's a conundrum. And then, you know, Hell in a Cell, I mean, we've actually got a lot of stuff coming up. You know, in Hell in a Cell, I think there's like six matches lined up for it so far. We've got the Hell in a Cell match with Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton has announced on this show is going to be in a cell. You've got to figure Jeff Hardy's going to jump off at the crazy bastard that he is. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe for the WWE title. Becky Lynch and Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title. Ronda and Alexa for the Raw Women's title. And the SmackDown live tag title match with the New Day against the winners of the tournament. So Hell in a Cell setting up to be a pretty decent show.
I would absolutely agree, Kenny. Going to be huge. I'm looking forward to it.
And then 2 weeks after that, we got that bloody Super Showdown.
Super Showdown.
So there you go. This week's Raw, we're going to have Shawn Michaels appearing. The Revival got a non-title win over the B Team this week, so they're going to be on that. They're going to be getting a title shot. Lots coming up, but I think that's it for this week, Finn. I think we've delved, we've done our due diligence.
We certainly have. I think that will definitely do for this week, Kenny.
So where can people find you online, Finn? What's your website where people can go and get the links to buying your ebooks or any stuff that you've written in the past or seeing a picture of your lovely face?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at Finlay Martin or at PowerSlam Online, or my website is finlaymartin.co.uk. And where can people find you, Kenny?
You can find me at KennyMC1985 or inside_the_ropes. You can also go to insidetheropes.co.uk/tickets. Pat Patterson next week, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, Thursday the 6th in Glasgow and Tuesday the 11th in London. Then we've got Edge coming up in October. 6th in Belfast, 7th in Dublin, 8th in Manchester, 9th in London. 9th in Glasgow, 10th in London. Sorry, keep getting them mixed up. But thank you very much for all your support, everybody. Check out all of our stuff, patreon.com/insidetheropes, for more content from Finn and I and Sandra and David and everybody else. So yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. If I be tonight, if I'm sad tonight.